This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Thank you. The title, as you can see from the handout, is The Case of the Poison Sandwich. Now, this is a case which I stumbled across recently, but it's an absolutely fascinating case, which is based on a real-life story that took place some time ago, but it came to light about 12 or 13 years ago. What was the case? There was a young boy in a school in America. And this young man, it was a non-Jewish boy, a non-Jewish school, but the young man was being bullied in school. A terrible situation where a group of boys in that school were bullying him. And as part of this poor boy's torment, one of the group would break into this kid's locker and would steal his sandwich every day for lunch. And it's, Baruch Hashem, I have the privilege of being involved in chinuch, and bullying is horrific. It's just terrible. And you feel for this kid. Every day Nebuch, he was being bullied, and they stole his sandwich every single day. Now this kid, this young man, he was in a high school, and his subject was chemistry. He was a major in chemistry. So he decided to take revenge. He wanted to find out who it was that was stealing his sandwich every day. So what did he do? He took some poison from the chemistry lab, and he laced his sandwich with poison. And one afternoon, sometime after lunch, he was sitting in the chemistry lecture, and one boy suddenly started rolling on the floor in terrible pain, writhing in agony. And suddenly the kid got up and he said, "It was you! You stole my sandwich!" And he, and the way the police can bring this Shiloh down, because what happened was, one of the people in the school, he was a fellow student who was a Jewish kid in a non-Jewish school, he eventually became a doctor, he made Aliyah, and he went to the Zilberstein Shurim in Bnei Brak. The famous Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, who's the son of the late Rabbi Yashiv, Lebodim Nechaim Nechaim. And he asked Rabbi Zilberstein, what would be the psa, what would be the halach in this case? Is it allowed for this young man, if the circumstances would repeat themselves, would it be mutter for this young man to lace his sandwich with poison so that the perpetrator of the bullying would stop doing it? And the police, when they bring it, they say that this kid, he was a nerdy type of kid, but he became the king of the school. Yeah, he became the cool kid in the school because he took revenge, and it was very cool what he did. So, la halacha, is it mutter to lace your sandwich in order to make sure that the person, the perpetrator of this crime, will stop doing it? So I'm just curious at this stage to have a quick show of hands. What would you say, ladies? Who thinks that it was correct, la halacha, for this young man to do what he did? Just raise your hand. Yeah? What would you say? Your gut feeling. What would you say halacha was about it?
I think it's right, but I know about halacha.
Okay, your gut feeling is right. Whose gut feeling that it's wrong, shouldn't do it? Oh, majority say no.
Is he harmed by the poison?
I didn't finish the story. You're quite right. So, what did he do, this young man? As this fellow was writhing in agony on the floor, he pulled out a little test tube and he prepared an antidote. Right? He's a thoughtful young fellow. So he prepared an antidote and he said, "Here you go." Yeah? But I don't know exactly what happened. Presumably he says, do you promise you're never ever going to do that again? You sure? This will, yeah? And then he gave him the antidote and he was okay. Right? But I'm just talking in principle. Is it allowed for this person to do what he did? So the consensus seems to be not. Yeah? Apart from Natalie. Yeah? The consensus seems to be not. Okay. Now, although it will be unusual for these facts to repeat themselves, I'll give you other facts where you'll see that it's actually not an uncommon situation. And this is, again, a true maaseh that happened. It took place in Israel. There was a spate of burglaries in an apartment building. So imagine, I can't remember the exact structure of the building, the details, but imagine you've got an apartment building, a block of, say, four floors, and you've got a flat on each side, you've got eight flats. And they couldn't understand how the guy was getting in, because the front door was always locked. They couldn't understand how the burglar got in. And it transpired that this burglar was a repeat offender, was getting in through a skylight at the very, very top. he would open up the skylight, which is apparently easy to open from the outside, and he would jump down on a washing line, which was at the top, and that would sort of break his fall, and then he would sort of land on the washing line and jump onto the side, and once he was inside the building, it was very easy to break into the various apartment buildings. And it happened regularly. So what the owners of the apartment buildings did was this. They weakened the washing line. So when the guy opened the skylight and then jumped onto the washing line, he wouldn't be able to break his fall. He would just go straight through. And a few days later, sure enough, at 3 o'clock in the morning, they suddenly hear this scream. The burglar had broken through, had jumped on the skyline and onto the washing line, and he'd gone and he was writhing in agony on the floor somewhere. So again, the shaila is it mutter to do that? And you can think of 100 situations where when I was giving the shir in the boys' school, so they all mentioned the film Home Alone. Is it mutter for this young man to do what he did? Can you prevent burglary from defense, in self-defense? Is that allowed? That's the shaila. So anyway, so like I told you, this shaila came to Reb Zilberstein, and Reb Zilberstein said the following. He said, not only is it mutter for this young man to lace his sandwich with poison, but it's a mitzvah. That's what he said. Those were his words. And he concluded, he said, Haliteu l'rosha v'yomus, which is an expression which means, let the rosha hang. In other words, he's brought this upon himself, too bad. Haliteu l'rosha v'yomus. Say, you want to hand out? Sorry. Yeah, maybe keep them in the back in case someone else. Oh, this one is fine. Okay. So haliteu l'rosha v'yomus. Say them. So let it fall where it falls. So that's what he said. Now, this psak was recorded in a journal, called Pamuna Yaakov. And the next time the journal came out, the next series, it triggered a massive debate. And many other Rosh Hashivas and Rabbonim in Bnei Brak took issue with the Zilberstein's psak. How could he say that it's mutter? How could he say that it's a mitzvah to do it? And they argued, and they all wrote articles in the next journal of this Torah journal, saying that it can't be right. And they argued it backwards and forwards. Now, let me bring some of the issues, and we can perhaps discuss them. I'm very keen to hear your views, because we'll conclude that we're not going to come away with a neat conclusion that it's mutter, that it's asa, but we'll raise the issues and discuss what were the shilas that came backwards and forwards. Now, let me tell you an interesting Mishnah in Baba Kamma. Take a look at note number 3 in your handout. This is a Mishnah in Baba Kamma, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Hichnis peirosav l'chotze balabais. A person brought in his fruit to the courtyard of a balabais. Shelobershus, without permission. V'ochlosen behemosa shel balabais. And the owner of the courtyard of the balabais, his animal, ate the fruit. Says the Mishnah, Potter, the owner of the animal is Potter. So imagine the scenario. I've got a few crates of tomatoes, and I'm walking down the street, and they're very heavy, and I want to break, or I want to go daven mincha, or I just want to leave them there for a few hours, and I don't want to leave them in the public street because people will take them. So I can see there's a courtyard. I go into someone's front garden, into his chotzer, into his courtyard, and I leave all my fruit over there. And I go off, and a few hours later I come back, and to my horror, you know, 3 crates of tomatoes have been eaten, and there is a dead donkey next to it. Right? That's what happens. So I feel terrible. So what does the Mishnah say? Says the Mishnah of Ochlos and Behemoth Shabalabai is Potter. Number one, the animal that ate it, he doesn't have to pay for the fruit that he ate, because I brought them in without the owner's permission. And if his animal ate the fruit, so then he doesn't have to pay me for eating my fruit. That's number one. If the animal was damaged by eating my fruit, so then, bal ha-peiros is chayv. I am liable for damage done to this animal because he ate my fruit, because I didn't have permission to leave my fruit there. Okay? Fine. Clear? So I leave my tomatoes, I bring them into someone else's permission, into someone else's rishus, in someone else's courtyard without permission, and his animal eats all my fruits, and the animal is injured or dies. Says the Mishnah that the bal ha-peiros is chayv. Now, the Gemara qualifies this. The Gemara says, Omer Rav, that's the next line on the handout, Omer Rav, Leishonu elo shehuchluk bohen. That's only true if the animal physically slips on the tomatoes, on the fruit, or whatever it was. Aval ochlo. But if he ate them, then the bal haperis is potter. The owner of the fruit is potter. My time havale shelo soichal, because he shouldn't have eaten. So let's clarify that in our example. I'm walking down the street. I've got loads of crates of tomatoes. So I bring them in, I put them into the guy's chotzer, I put them into the guy's courtyard without permission. His animal eats them. And his animal overeats and collapses and dies. What's the story? What is the halachic position? So the position is this, that if he would have slipped on the fruit, so then the Mishnah says, Imhuskun bohen balaperis is chayv. Me, I'm chayv, I've caused damage to this person, to this animal. But if he eats, then I'm potter. Why? Because havale shelo seicha, which means that the owner of the animal should have stopped his animal from eating. The onus is on him to stop his animal from eating. Okay. Now, there is a principle in halacha called Groma benezikin is potter, which means that if I cause damage to someone, but I do it in an indirect way, then I am potter. I'm only liable for damages if I directly assault or hit someone. But if I cause damage indirectly, I'm exempt. That's a halacha. Okay? Now, let me ask you. When I put my vegetables down in this guy's courtyard, and this animal eats it, is that direct or is that indirect? What would you say?
Indirect.
What would be direct damage?
If I fed him,
or if I shoot the animal, or if I attack it, or do something directly. But if I just leave fruit there and the animal eats it, that's indirect damage. So therefore, for damages, I'm potter. Everyone agree? Fine. This is a continuation of the Gemara. It's in paragraph 4. The Gemara continues and says, yes, potter midine odom. You're right. I'm potter if he were to take me to Beis Din and say, listen, my donkey costs 300 pounds, pay me 300 pounds, nothing, I don't have to pay. Because the damage I did was indirect, and the halacha is, groma benezikin, you're potter, I don't have to pay. However, continues the Gemara, v'chayev midine shamayim. In shamayim, in heaven, I'm liable. And sometimes the Gemara does that. The Gemara gives a whole list of examples in Baba Kama of similar situations. If I were to put poison in front of someone else's animal, I haven't directly damaged the animal. I haven't shot the animal, I haven't fed him, I haven't done something direct. But I've indirectly damaged this animal. So I'm potter midine odom. I don't know, if he takes me to court, nothing he can do. I'm potter. But in Shemayim, in heaven, there is a heavenly liability on me. Okay? Now, what would you say about this case? Let's try and apply the rules of this case back to our case of this young man with the poison sandwich. Is that a support for or against Reb Zilberstein? Let's remind ourselves of the facts. A bully, yeah, is bullying this poor young man. The young man is a group of them, and one of them is taking this guy's sandwich from his locker. So, he laces his sandwich with poison, and his attacker is injured. If this attacker takes this young man to court, takes him to Beis Din, what would they say in light of this Mishnah? What would the halacha be? What would you say?
Indirect,
and therefore you're potter. But is there a heavenly liability?
Yeah,
there's a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim. There's not misa, there's a chiyuv b'dei shamayim. There is a heavenly liability. So this seems to be a support or a question of Zilberstein. Supporting or question?
Question?
It's a question. Yeah, so therefore this is a question of Reb Zilberstein. How can Reb Zilberstein paskin that in this case of the young man who steals the sandwich and he gets injured, how can he paskin that it was mutter for the guy to lace the sandwich? Not only mutter, he said it's a mitzvah to do it. It's a mitzvah for this poor kid who is being bullied to attack his attacker. How can you say that? The Gemara says, v'chayv b'dinei shamayim. That true in this world that you can't, there's a groma benezik and it's indirect. But bedinei shamayim yochayv, there's a heavenly liability. You hear the question? So that's what they asked on Reb Zilberstein. Now, who can think of an answer? What is the, think of a difference between the cases?
It's very different.
Go on. Yeah, no, why? Go on, let's hear Asfara.
Because it's his fault. The animal coming and eating is totally different because of the animal's problem and he doesn't really have clear. The boy taking sandwich, he's doing that very easily.
Very good. Excellent. That's one chiluk. One chiluk is this. The difference would be that an animal is an animal. And he's following his instincts. And therefore, if you put a whole crate of tomatoes out in the courtyard, the animal is an animal and will eat. And therefore, you're right, maybe the owner should have held him back, but I am chayv b'dei shamayim because I've indirectly caused damage to this person. And because it wasn't direct, he can't sue me in Beis Din. But indirectly, I am liable, and therefore there is a heavenly liability on me. Masha Enkein, in contrast, in the case with the sandwich, the poison sandwich, this guy, this bully, he's a bardas. He's an intelligent human being. And he had no right to go into my locker. He chose that course of action. And he decided to go into my locker and steal something. And therefore, you know, let the chips fall where they fall. It's his problem. He's a bardas. He's chosen. And that's really what I've said in paragraph 5b. Yeah? And the analogy I give, imagine you can see a burglar who burgles a house, and there's a big sign, beware of the dog. And sure enough, this guy doesn't, you know, take any notice of the sign, and he goes and he tries to break into someone's house, and the dog jumps out and ruins his trousers. Yeah? So, can the burglar sue for a new pair of trousers? No. Because there was a sign, beware of the dog, and he's taken that choice, that course of action. Right? Okay. There's another chiluk. Reb Zilberstein presented another defense. Can anyone think of another defense? I'll give you a clue. In the case of the animal, you put your vegetables in this guy's front yard. Did the animal have a right to be where he was?
Yes.
Yeah. So the animal, should he have been in that courtyard? Did he have a right to be there? Absolutely. In contrast, the guy who stole the sandwich, was he allowed to steal it? Should he have been in my locker? No.
It's not even indirect.
Huh?
Like, it's not even indirect, really, because he's not meant to be there in the house.
Yeah. And very good. And so what Zilberstein is saying, he says, look, it's my sandwich. I can choose to put peanut butter on it. I can put tuna on it. I can put cheese on it. And I can put arsenic on it. It's my sandwich. It's my sandwich. I can do what I want. So you can't tell me to do what I, you know, I can do what I want with my sandwich. And therefore, it's in my rishus, it's in my locker, it's my sandwich, I can do what I want with it. In the case that you're asking on me, from the case of Baba Kama, we're talking about a case where the animal is allowed to be where he is, someone else comes along, leaves crates of vegetables and tomatoes, whatever it was there, and the animal is in there, which is fine, okay, there's a technical reason why the owner of the animal can't sue me in court, because it was indirect. But b'dinei shamayim, I'm chayev. I've caused this animal injury or death, and therefore I'm liable to pay. But in the case of the sandwich, this guy had no right to be in my locker, taking my sandwich. So Reb Zilberstein defends himself in the following two ways. Okay. But there are other questions which they ask on Reb Zilberstein. Another question is this. True, he broke into my locker and he wasn't allowed to do it. But don't I, this Nebuch, this poor bully, this kid who was bullied, he knows that someone is stealing his sandwich every day. So surely he knows that if he laces his sandwich with poison, there's going to be some consequences to what he does. I.e., that ultimately he's causing injury to this fellow. So does he have to foresee the consequences of his act? Let's say the antidote wasn't quite right, and he wasn't such a good chemistry student, and the arsenic and the poison bit he gets right, but the antidote he doesn't get right. And let's say, Rahman al-Islam, that he causes terrible injury, or he causes death. Does he have to foresee the consequences of his action? That's what they asked him. How can he do what he said? Surely he's got to foresee the consequences of his actions. Yeah? So he quoted them a very, very interesting Gemara. And this Gemara is fascinating because it has lots of relevant, it's good, it's a famous Gemara in as much as it's used as a source for different things. But let me read you to the Gemara. It's paragraph 5c, and we'll see how Rabbi Zilberstein brings it. Yeah, you got it? It's a Gemara in Yuma Pei Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi. Three great Tanoim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosi. Have a ka'ozli ba'urcha. They were traveling on a journey. Reb Meir had a daik b'shmo. And Reb Meir was famous, apart from being a famous Tana, but he had the ability to be medayik b'shmo, which means that he could make inferences in the person's name. He heard a name and he said, wow, I can tell you about that person, as we'll see soon. Reb Yehuda and Reb Yosi lo have a daik b'shmo. But Reb Yehuda and Reb Yosi didn't have this ability to make inferences about a name of a person. When the three of them got to their destination, they got to a certain place. They needed lodging, so they went to an inn to stay there overnight. Now, and they found an ushpiza, an inn. And the minhag was in those days that if you had a purse, you didn't have credit cards and a machine in the wall. You had a purse, and you would give it to the innkeeper. And the next day, when you were carrying on traveling, he would give it back to you. That was the minhag in those days. But Reb Meir was reluctant to give his purse over to the innkeeper. Why? Because the Gemara says, Omrulei Mashmecho. They said to the innkeeper, what's your name? So Omeluhu, so he said back, Kidar, my name is Kidar. Omar, so Reb Meir said, Shma mino Odom Roshahu. Reb Meir said, again, Reb Meir had the ability to infer from the names, this guy is a Rosha. Why? Because it's Shnemer, it says in the Pasuk, Kidur Tahapuches Hema. Kidur Tahapuches Hema. It's a reference to Klal Yisrael, they're a volatile nation. They change the whole time. And therefore, it's a negative trait, and therefore, this guy's name is Kidur. So therefore, I don't trust this fellow. There's something fishy about him. However, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Ashlimu Lekisaihu, the others, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, they gave their purses in, as was the normal custom, to the innkeeper. Rabbi Meir lo yashlim lekisei, but Rabbi Meir didn't. Fine. Continue the Gemara later, lemocha omrei, the next day, they said to him, i.e. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda said, havlon kison, so we're going now, can we have our purses back? And omer lahu lo yezrei moilem. He said, what purses? What are you talking about? So sure enough, Rabbi Meir's concerns were founded. Rabbi Meir said to his colleagues, well, why didn't you infer from his name like I did and not give your purses? Why didn't you tell us? You should have told us. You should have shared your concerns. To be suspicious, but not to actually, for certain. Anyway, the Gemara carries on. They had a cunning plan. What was the plan? They watched him, and he went into a shop. They saw this innkeeper. They looked at him and he had lentils around his mouth. He didn't wash his mouth after he had breakfast, and he had some lentils around his mouth. So they came with a clever plan. They went to his wife, they went to his home, and they said, look, we just met your husband, and he gave us a code. He said, give us our wallets back, and the code is that he had lentils for breakfast. And she says, yeah, he had lentils for breakfast. So she went to get the purses, and she gave him the purses, and they went back. Now, unfortunately, the story does not have a happy ending for her. For Shoklu Lekisai Vaisu, she gave him their purses. Ozel Iu, he comes home, and she says, oh, by the way, I got the message. What message? That Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi came, and they said, you had the lentils, and I gave him the purses. Says the Gemara, Ozel Iu, for Kotle Le'itisei, he got so infuriated, he killed his wife. That's what the Gemara says. Okay? End of the story. The Gemara says, what do you derive from there? That whenever you finish breakfast, always wash your mouth. That's what the Gemara says. Shema mino, that my mishonim are machronim. Yeah? The Gemara says that you should have my machronim. Why my machronim? You've seen people do my machronim. Because you're meant to just wash a little bit. And the Gemara brings that as a makor. Okay. But what do you see from this incident? Surely, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda should have realized that if they cleverly get their purses, their wallets back from this lady, maybe the husband's going to come home. His plan has been foiled. Obviously, the fellow is a bit of a lowlife, because after all, the guy is a gunner. He's a fraudster. He's a thief. And therefore, who knows what he's going to do? And Taka, he kills his wife. So why weren't Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda concerned about the consequences of their actions? Elamai, says Rabbi Zilberstein, you see that you don't have to be. That you've got to do what you've got to do, and you're entitled to take whatever necessary steps you have to take to preserve your own property. And if there are consequences which, you know, may or may not happen, that's not your problem. So therefore, says Rabbi Zilberstein, I've got a good raya from this Gemara, that this young kid who Nebuchus bullied, he's allowed to lace his sandwich with arsenic and with whatever he wants, and if there are unintended results or whatever happens from it, that's not my problem. I'm entitled to do what I need to do to look after my property. Yep, good raya. Fine. Now, they asked another kasha, Rabbi Zilberstein. They asked another kasha. The other kasha is this. True, you can do what you want to protect your own property. I'm allowed to lace my sandwich and to put it in my locker, and if this guy chooses to do it, that's his problem. But surely, I have the intention to harm this fellow. Who says I'm allowed to harm this fellow? Surely, in a normal situation, I can take whatever precaution I want to, but if I know that this is going to cause harm to someone, who says it's mutter? Since when can I harm someone else? That's what they're all concerned about. And I would imagine, when the show of hands at the beginning, we said the majority have said that the kid was allowed to or not allowed to do it? Not allowed to do it. Why? Because presumably many of you thought, okay, I can protect my property, but I can't cause injury to someone else. I can't harm someone else. So Rabbi Zilberstein brings a Gemara in Menachos, a very, very interesting Gemara, where he says that the intention is not an issue. Look at this Gemara. The Gemara says this, Menachos Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, Itzma, Shoma Shetova Tinuk Bayom. A strange case. It's talking about a Shabbos. And a person hears that a baby has fallen into a river, into a sea. Upirish Mitzuda Lahalos Dogim Vehele Dogim. And he throws down some sort of net to bring the baby up. But his intention, his thinking, there everyone's busy running around trying to save this kid. And his thinking, you know what? There's some great fish in this river. I'll sort of catch on with everyone else. But I'm interested in just bringing up the fish. Lahalus dogim vehele dogim. If my intention was to catch fish, and I bring up fish, chayev, I'm chayev. Lahalus dogim vehele tinoik vedogim. But if my intention is to halus dogim, and when I bring up the net, I see a few salmon, a few tuna flapping around in there, and a tinoik, and a baby, says the Gemara, it's machlokes. Rabba om a potter, Rava om a chayev. Rabba says you're potter, Rava says you're chayev. Rabba om a potter, the reason why Rabba says that you're potter, zilbos a maisov. Go after his actions. And his actions demonstrate that he brought up, true, his intention was to catch some fish, which is, of course, an issa tzeda on Shabbos. You can't trap on Shabbos. It's one of the obvious melachas. But look at what happened. He brought up a tinuk. That's hatzolos nefashos. That's allowed. And Rava or Machayev, no, he's guilty. Why? Zil bosa machshavtoi, go after his intention. What was his intention? His intention was to fish. The Shulchan Aruch paskens like Rabba. Zil bosa maisov. You go after the person's actions. You disregard the intention. And therefore, if the person intended to catch fish, and he throws the net down, and he pulls up some fish and this tinuk, so then he's potter. Because his actions have demonstrated, the actions trump the intention. So the Zilberstein says, I've got a great raya. I've got a perfect raya from here, that even though there may be intention to harm the thief, that's not a problem. Yeah? Good. Okay. So, in short, so far, Rabbi Zilberstein has defended everything. Now, let me quote to you from it's a chazal in Derech Eretz Rabbah. In Perek Hay of Derech Eretz Rabbah. Listen to this story. You haven't got this on the sheet, but I apologize, but I'll read it out to you. Says the Gemara, Le'olam yihyu kol bnei odom chashuvin nefonecho kalistim. You've got a guest. A Shabbos guest. Says the Gemara, treat him, be suspicious that he's a thief, that he's a burglar, a regular Shabbos guest. You get the jailer, he called you up. Can we put you on the hospitality list? Yeah, Friday afternoon, they say that a couple of students have just shown up. Can they come for Shabbos? No problem. Says the Gemara, says the Maseches Derechetz Rabo, La'olam yukol b'nei odm chashuvin lefonech kalistim. Treat them like thieves. Ve'hevi mechabdon k'rim gamliel. But honor them, honor them. Why? Umbayis Rabbi Yeshua. Then once upon a time, there was a story with Rabbi Yeshua. Shehishkim etz le'odam. One guy wanted to stay with Rabbi Yeshua. V'nosen le'achila v'shtia. And he gave him to eat and to drink. He gave him supper. V'he'eleu le'gag lishkov. And then he said, it was late at night, after he had eaten. He said, now you need to retire for the night. He sent him up to the attic. So in those days, there was like a stairwell, a stair, like a ladder, going up to the attic. And he went up to the attic. V'notal sulam mitachto. But Rabbi Yeshua didn't trust him. So he took away the ladder because he was worried that this guy, his guest, would sweep the house in the middle of the night, would take all his possessions, he'd put them in a bag, and he'd climb down the ladder and he'd run away. So what did Rabbi Yeshua do to protect himself? He took away the ladder. What happened in the night? What did that guy do? Omad b'chatzi alayla, 3-4 in the morning, notales hakelim, he took his bag, with big loot on it, and he put all the stuff inside. The karchan betalisay, kiven shebikish leirid, and then he wanted to go down. Not nofal minagag v'nishma mafragday. He didn't see there was no ladder there. He attempted to go down the stairs, and Nebuch he fell to the bottom and he broke his neck. The Chazal say. The shachris, the following morning, Hishkan Yeshua got up. Ubo umotzuk shul nofal, and he sees this guy lying on the floor with a bag of loot next to him, all the things he had stolen. Amalei reika. This is how you behave. I didn't know that you'd taken the ladder away. You empty person. I knew about you. I was concerned. I was suspicious that you were a thief. So I took away the ladder. So from here, Rabbi Yeshua said, honor them, give them food and lodging and drink, but be suspicious. That's what the Gemara says. That's what the Derech Eretz Rabbah says. So, what do you see from this Gemara? What do you see from this Gemara? A raya for or against Rabbi Zilberstein. What would you say, Gila? What would you say? For and against. Oh, good, we've got an argument. Good, good. Go on, Judith. What did you say? What did you say against?
I don't know.
Why did you say for? Who said for? Sorry, yeah.
Because you can defend himself.
You're allowed to defend yourself. So therefore, presumably, the guy is allowed, Rabbi Yeshua is allowed to take away the ladder. So too, this kid who was bullied is allowed to defend himself. And how can he defend himself? By lacing his sandwich. He's defending himself. Again, is there a difference between the two cases? Yeah?
Because for the boy with the sandwich, he knows that someone, that there is a thief. It's not a case of suspicion, he knows.
Yeah.
Whereas the other person, he takes away the ladder, he doesn't know for sure that this person is going to fall down. But the person who puts the sandwich with the stuff on it, he knows that this person is going to get hurt.
Good. Okay, nice chiluk. Very nice chiluk. Good difference. Can anyone think of a different difference? Yeah, very nice. Very good point. Yeah, Judith, yeah?
I think in the first scenario, he's taking revenge.
Okay, that's a good point. I regret when I started this evening, I said something about revenge. Maybe this young man who was bullied is taking revenge. But I don't think it's a problem of revenge. It's if you're in battle, yeah, and someone's coming towards you, or you see a fellow's running around Golden Road with an axe, Rahman al-Islam. And let's say he smashed and you missed you and he got your car. It doesn't mean you can't you can't injure him because it might be taking revenge. It's defending yourself. Do you see what I mean? It's not a problem of taking revenge. You're trying to defend your property or yourself. What about this? Do you think the guy in Rabbi Shua's story, the thief, when he came down the roof, do you think it was reasonable of him to check if there was a ladder there?
Yeah, he should have.
Yeah. So therefore he brought this one himself. Okay, so now apply that to the sandwich case.
He didn't know that they had food. There's no way for him to know.
Right. So you could argue and you could say Well, hang on a second. The reason why Rabbi Yeshua was allowed to do what he did, i.e. to take away the ladder, is because I'm not causing harm to this person, because he should have looked before he... I'm just preventing theft. How am I preventing theft? By taking away the ladder when this guy steps out of the loft and then he realizes, oh boy, there's no way out. I better put all the loot back because I'm not going to make my getaway. And he was foolish and he just stepped down without looking and he hurt himself. But in the case of the sandwich, do you think it's expected of this bully to like open up the sandwich and to sort of check this, you know? It's a form of paranoia probably, to check everything. So you could make a chiluk like that. Yeah? And so on one hand, you could bring this as a good source for Rabbi Zilberstein, that a person is allowed to defend himself, because just like Rabbi Yeshua took away the ladder in order to protect his own property, so too the person can protect his property and can take action. But on the other hand, you can make a difference between them. I.e. the difference is that in the case of the ladder, I'm allowed to take it away because I'm just preventing theft. It doesn't allow me to injure the other person. One is reasonable that to look to see if there's a ladder there. The other one is perhaps not. Yeah? Okay. Now, another issue. Another issue. We'll close up soon. There is a law in the Torah of lo samod al dam reecho, which means, it's a massive topic, but it's a very, very interesting one, and we'll just touch it. Lo samod al dam reecho means that you're not allowed, if you see a nebuch, a person drowning, a young boy is falling into a swimming pool, and you see he's drowning. You're not allowed to just walk past. Lo samod al dam reecho means you can't stand by, literally, while your brother's blood is being spilled. So, you got to jump in. Of course, if you can't swim, it's like maybe different. Yeah, that's a different story. But if you are able to save him, then you've got to save him. Lo samod. So the question is this. If you've got a chiyuv of lo samod, of hatzolah, of saving a person, then how on earth can Rabbi Zilberstein paskin that it's not only mutter for me to lace this guy's sandwich so that he's rolling all over the floor in pain, but it's a mitzvah to do it? Doesn't the issa of lo samod kick in? Well, let's take the other example. The other example was the washing line case, right? So true, I want to prevent this thief from breaking in. But if I loosen the pegs that this fellow jumps in and then goes down, and then he's lying on the floor a few stories down, doesn't the issa of lo samod, doesn't that create an obligation on me of hatzola to save this person? So how can I do it in the first place? If there is a concept of lo samod adam reecho, I can't stand and I've got an obligation to save him, then how can I injure him in the first place? Do you understand the issue? So how would Rabbi Zilberstein deal with that? What would you say? What's your counter argument to that? What do you think?
Hasn't happened yet.
Good. Okay, nice. So you can't... So, you know, I can take preventative measures, and then my obligation with Samud is I'm standing there biting the floor. No, yeah, and then as I get, then, oh, Hatzolah, quick, yeah. It doesn't sound right though, does it? I hear you, it's a good swara. Yeah, I'll tell you the answer that he gives. He gives two answers. He says one answer is this, that it does not apply, lo samoy does not apply to a repeat burglar. Yeah, the loshen he uses is I forgot the loshen he uses. A repeat burglar. That since he's a serial thief, yeah, he's a repeat offender, so then you've got no obligation of hatzol on him. There's no lo samud for him. Alternatively, he says, another svara is that he's got a din of a mumalahachis. Now, a mumalahachis is someone who is antagonizing you just for not for his own pleasure, but just because he's cruel. And again, there's no chiyuv hatzola in such a situation. Okay? So therefore, again, Rabbi Zilberstein can battle that one, or combat that one away. No problem with lo samud. Okay. All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. Well, let's just summarize, and then we'll conclude the various points that we've discussed tonight. The The case was that the kid was being bullied and his sandwich was being taken. Our question was that is this young man, this chemistry major, is he allowed to lace his sandwich to prevent bullying taking place? And the fellow asked Reb Zilberstein. Reb Zilberstein says it's not only is it mutter, but it's a mitzvah to do it. Okay, that was his psak. And again, his svara, the words he used were haliteu l'rosha v'yomis. Haliteu l'rosha v'yomis means let the rosha hang. Now, where does it come from, this phrase, haliteu l'rosha? It comes from a Gemara with regard to neter avoy. Neter avoy, not to get into too much detail, neter avoy is where a person has got a field, and the first 3 years we know that you can't eat the produce of the field, it's got a din of orla. But in year four, it's got a din of neter avoy, which means that you can eat it like ma'isa sheni, you've got to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. It's got certain limitations. Now, the Gemara says over there with neter avoy, that what would happen if there's a guy who's coming into your field and stealing stuff? He's stealing your vegetables. Do you have to put a sign up saying, this is orla, this is neter avoy? Do you have to minimize this guy's avera? On one hand, it's an avera of theft. So the Gemara says, no, you don't have to do it. Haliteu l'rosha v'yomus. The guy's a rosha, he's a thief. So you don't have to minimize his avera. So Reb Zilberstein used that expression. The difficulty is this. Though the critics of Reb Zilberstein's psak would say, it's not haliteu l'rosha. Haliteu l'rosha v'yomus is where you're minimizing the avera of the guilty party. That he, by him stealing your orla, he's over gneva, and do you have to minimize it? It shouldn't be over neter avoy. Oh, it's neter avoy. I'll go to the guy next door. Yeah. Do you have to minimize avera? The answer is no. But it does. It's not a green light for you to injure the person. So again, the critics of Reb Zilberstein saying halitei l'rosh v'yomus is not applicable over here. Okay. So what else did they ask, and how did he bat them away? Another question they asked was the case in Baba Kama. The guy brought his vegetables into someone else's chotzer. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, the Bala Peris is chayev. The Gemara qualified that and says, that's only if it was direct damage. But if it was indirect damage, ochla, aval ochla is potza, my timer, havale shalosechel, groma, etc., etc. But they said to him, hang on, but it says, potamid dine odem v'chayev b'dine shemayim. The person who leaves all the vegetables there, he's chayev in heaven. So how can you tell this fellow it's a mitzvah to do it? So the answer he gave, the two answers, one answer we had over here was that the guy's a bardas. An animal's, you're chayev b'dei shemayim because you caused this animal's death or injury because he's an animal. He had no, you know, he what can he do but eat? But the burglar can decide not to burgle. The bully can decide not to bully. He's a bardas. Second of all, the animal had every right to be there. This fellow had no right to go into the other person's locker. So therefore, it's too bad. You can't compare the cases. Another kasha we said was, does he have to anticipate any result, any untoward result? So Rabbi Zilberstein says, no problem. That's a Gemara in Yuma. That's the case with Kiddur. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi left the purses, and they devised a clever plan to take them back with the lentils. They don't have to anticipate that maybe the man's going to go crazy with his wife. They don't have to anticipate that. I can do what I need to do to protect my own property, and I'm not responsible for any untoward results. What about intention to harm the thief? Surely that's a problem. Again, no problem, says Reb Zilberstein, because the Gemara in Menachos, if a Nebuchadnezzar baby falls into a river on Shabbos, if I intend to catch fish whilst everyone else is trying to look after this baby, and trying to find him, and I raise up fish, I'm chayev. I've done a melach on Shabbos. But if I raise up this baby, even though my intention was to catch fish, so then it's okay. Zilbos and myself, you go after the animal, the person's intentions. You go after his actions. And the actions were, lemaisa, I haven't done a melach, because I've saved this kid's life.
You often, what happens if the intention is good, the actions.
But you zilbos and myself doesn't make it. The primary focus is on the action, not the intention. And since the result was I actually raised up the net, and I actually bring up the child, even though my intention was to fish, But the Maisa actually brought this kid up. Therefore, the Maisa was a kosher Maisa. It wasn't a Melacha. It's Pikuach Nefesh. So therefore, it's okay.
It sounds awful if you switch around. Like, my intention is to do really good, but I end up, like, hurting someone's feelings somehow, even though, like...
Yeah, okay. So we're talking as a technical Hilchos Shabbos as you. Yeah, okay. The Zilbos of Maisov in this situation. And then we said, what about the case from Derech Eretz Rabbah? The case of Yeshua pulling away the ladder. Surely that's a good support for Yeshua, for Reb Zilberstein, that you're allowed to take measures to pull away the ladder that the guy hurts himself. But again, you can be mechalik, you can make a difference. You can say, in the case of the loft, I was only allowed to do what I did because this, I was just preventing theft. This guy brought it upon himself. He should have looked that there was a ladder there. But Shein came in the case of the sandwich, he should have anticipated that the sandwich was laced. And then finally, we discussed just before the Halitei L'Rosha V'Yomus. In the case of Halitei L'Rosha, that's an example of where you minimize the Aveira. But it's not a support for Zilberstein. It doesn't allow, it's not a green light to take preemptive action to injure the other person. Okay, so in short, it's a big discussion. Rabbi Bleich has got a fantastic sermon called Contemporary Halachic Issues. I haven't seen this one. But in the sixth volume is recently out, and he dedicates 50 pages to this topic, the case of the poison sandwich. Right, 50 pages is a professor in YU and is an enormous Talmud Chacham, and it's a fascinating area. But at least we've just touched on it and to give you a flavor of some of the topics raised. But in short, the jury is out. Reb Zilberstein maintains his position, and those who argue with him maintain their position. And it's a fascinating area of halacha, which I hope you've enjoyed. And thank you very much for your time.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.